Good afternoon, everyone. If you could open up your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians, we'll open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we're able to come today and just to worship you and to hear your word. We just thank you for your mercy and grace that you give us each and every day and the abundance of mercy that you show us and the things that you provide for us each day. We just thank you for that. We lift up this time now. We just ask that you speak to us. In your precious name, Jesus Christ, amen. So, we're getting started in the second epistle or letter to the Thessalonians. This letter was written shortly after the first letter of the Thessalonians. And it probably came about from further questions that the Thessalonians had after they received that first letter. And Paul answers those questions in this particular letter. From the gist of the letter, we can assume or speculate that there was a letter circulating around to the different churches that Paul had founded or started up. This letter was supposedly from Paul, and it was disturbing the Christians there. This false report or this letter claimed that Christ had already come and gathered the church out to himself, and that they were now living in the day of the Lord. Since they were being persecuted daily, it wasn't hard to believe for them that they were living in the day of the Lord. Paul writes this letter to calm their fears and states that the gathering together of Christ is yet in the future. And he provides information about things that need to happen prior to the Great Tribulation period. Now, 2 Thessalonians is broken up into three chapters, each having a specific purpose. Chapter 1 is written to encourage the Thessalonians in their persecution. In chapter 1, Paul gives thanks to them for their growth, and he encourages them to stand fast in their persecution. And he also offers up a prayer for God's blessing upon them. Chapter 1 is all about the discouraged believers and Paul's thanksgiving for their lives. Chapter 2 is written as an explanation of, quote, the day of the Lord. And it's divided into two sections. The first was events that must precede the day of the Lord. And then the second part of it is comfort for the believers in that day. Chapter 2 is all about the believers who were disturbed by this false letter that had been going around. And Paul writes this chapter to give further doctrinal instruction on what is really true. Now, chapter 3 is written as an exhortation to them. It's instructions on how to handle certain things that were going on in that body, in that church. And it's divided into three different areas. One was how to wait patiently for the Lord. Two, what to do with the disorderly. And three, he gives a final conclusion. Chapter 3 is written about those who are disobedient believers and gives instructions on how to correct that behavior. Now, 2 Thessalonians, what's its contribution to the Bible? This letter is the shortest letter that Paul wrote. And it provides crucial instructions and information concerning the end times. And it clarifies some issues that were obscure. Now, the two letters to the Thessalonians, along with the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24 and 25, and the book of Revelation, give us the major prophetic texts of the New Testament concerning the day of the Lord or end times. And their early dates, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, place them among the first New Testament books to be written. And they reveal that apostolic doctrine had already become a standard of truth to the believers. In verses 2:15 and also 3:6, Paul refers to his teachings as the traditions. He had already established traditions of teaching in each of the churches that he founded. Paul's teachings in these two epistles refer to almost every central doctrine of Christian faith that were available at that time. He covers all of them within the two epistles that were out there. Now, some of the key passages that we have within this letter are: the key chapter is chapter 2. It corrects a serious error that taught that Christ had already come, and it was causing believers confusion and doubt. In here, Paul clearly teaches that the day of the Lord has not come, and he identifies certain events that must be fulfilled. The key phrase that we see in this epistle is expectation of the day of the Lord. There's a couple of key verses within here that we need to look at. The first is chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. The second major verse that we need to look at is chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. And it states, "And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we commanded. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us." This letter is the theological sequel to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. It's like a continuation off of that. And in that, it states in 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11, "Now concerning the times and the seasons, brother, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." He basically ends 1 Thessalonians with these particular verses right here. So it's kind of a wonder that shortly thereafter, this letter that was false comes around and it sways some people. They had confusion. So they ask the question again, has the day of the Lord already come? Paul's main objective in 2 Thessalonians is to tell them that no, the day of the Lord has not come. Paul sends this brief letter to correct the errors and to encourage the believers as they go through this persecution. Paul also sends instructions on how to handle those in the church who've decided not to work because they believe the coming of the Lord is near. Now, what evidence is there that Paul wrote this book? Well, there's even more evidence in this book than there is in the first epistle to the Thessalonians. Because in verse 17, it's specific 3:17, I think it is, it specifically says, I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. And if we look at the internal vocabulary and the style and the doctrinal content, we see that Paul is the author of this particular book. Now, 2 Thessalonians and 1 Thessalonians were written about 51 to 53 AD. And next time, we'll pick it up in chapter 1 and go a little bit deeper into that particular chapter. Lord, Heavenly Father, we just ask that you go before us. I ask that you help everyone to delve into 2 Thessalonians and read it thoroughly and become aware of it as we go into it further in the further teachings. I thank you, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy again. In your precious name, Jesus Christ, amen.